you want, you can sit down, or if you'd like to stand up, that's fine. Appreciate your information. So in your position, and I guess job requirements with the Water Resource Department, is part of your job requirement to go out when people are asking, requesting for a replacement well, to go out to every one of those, certain ones of those, or what? I don't know if you, that's in your job requirement, your job description.
I think that's something that I should do and can do, and unfortunately we're spread thin as staff in this program. I try to keep up with the drilling that's occurring in about 15 counties by myself, so I wish I could get to all these jobs and know what was going on. One of the things that we do, we have a drilling permit process, which we have to authorize the construction of a well. Exempt wells, which for most purposes are residential domestic wells that don't require a water right, we've employed a process of it's called a start card process, so that a drilling contractor can actually obtain a permit on behalf of the well owner expeditiously. So as long as they turn that start card in, and that start card is has limited parameters for use, as soon as our office gets it, they're authorized to drill. On the start card or a regular drilling permit, we ask, is this a replacement, a new well, a modification of an existing well, so that we can kind of keep separate the types of work that are being done. So one category is replacement. On residential domestics, and along with a replacement well, comes a condition on the drilling permit that says the well being replaced must be properly abandoned. And that's mostly in the event that it is going to be a liability and a hazard if it's not maintained. If it doesn't function anymore, we need it to go away. What comes with that is, unfortunately, a person has to kick a dead horse. They have a well that's no good. They're staring at a huge bill to replace that well, and then I come and tell them they have to also put money into the old well that doesn't work anymore to plug it. So I get involved with a lot of replacements to track whether or not the old well is getting abandoned. Now, do we go so far as to track what exactly happened to that old well, why it doesn't work? We ask for information on an abandonment application that asks for the well depth, the static water level, and that kind of stuff, but and a reason for the abandonment. Sometimes it's the well's just doesn't work, or sometimes it may be the well went dry.
Do you physically get out to all of those sites?
To all of them?
Yeah.
No, sir.
What percentage of domestic wells might you get out to that have a replacement?
The numbers I can come up with, we'll start with the percentage of wells that I may be able to look at during a year period. Let's say that in a good year, it's 250 to 350 wells. Active drilling sites is generally what I try to do. I try to be there when they're constructing the well, because I can get a better feel for what's happening. The percentage of replacement wells I would be on would vary, because that depends on how many wells are being replaced in that particular year.
Do you go out to replacement sites for domestic wells?
Yeah, fairly commonly. I do like to make a contact when I get a drilling permit for a replacement residential well, at least with the driller, even if it's via telephone, to find out what the intentions are with the old well. Now, there may be times where the driller doesn't want to identify the well as a replacement well because the owner doesn't want to spend the money to get rid of the old well. So I fight that battle too. So I may end up being out on a job that is obviously a replacement because it's an existing house. And then we start asking the questions, well, what's this well for? Well, it's because that one doesn't work. So it's the majority of what I have seen over the years are new residential wells, just because there's probably more residential, you know, new houses out rurally than we have old houses. And
so on the map behind you on the wall, are you generally familiar with the, maybe the first time you've seen it, with the location of the M3 property and Eagle? Did you find yourself Eagle on that map by any chance? Where you can look at Highway 44. So
okay. This, I'm assuming this, here's the highway?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see the Boise River and then
under. Okay.
So you're somewhat, if you see the cluster of, I guess you call red or, yeah. That is information that the dots were obtained from looking at the Water Resource, Department of Water Resource website, getting information on wells that were re-drilled. Those dots represent a time period from, I think, 2005 to 2008. Terms of redrilling. And have you been to any of those locations scattered along Beacon Light, Valentine, and Homer, and that?
And these dates are the dates of the replacement? Is that what you're
talking about? I would refer that, if I could, appropriate to Mr. Smith.
The year of replacement.
Okay, just a minute.
Sorry.
Mr. Smith. You're not the witness at this point.
And I may have stepped out of line. I was trying to have Mr. Smith help answer.
Oh, I didn't realize you were.
I was trying to, yeah, I asked Mr. Smith to answer that because I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that map with the numbers on it. So I apologize if I stepped out of line there, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Okay.
So the dots have numbers or dates on them?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the year that well was. The new well was drilled.
And if I could, Mr. Hearing Officer, ask Mr. Smith, is that correct?
No, I don't think that's appropriate.
Oh, okay.
I think the appropriate way to ask the question, if you don't know it, is let's assume.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll assume, and I believe I've heard testimony that those represent the year that they were re-drilled. So have you been to any of those sites? We've got the well driller's logs, if you would like that, to help you with know the well driller as well as the name of the people.
I would suspect that I've been to few of them. I can tell you that based on the dates 2006, 2007, 2008, I was involved with the drafting of the new well construction standards. Almost all of my time was dedicated to that process and didn't have an assistant and was not in the field for a couple of years very much. Now, I do recognize some of this area kind of out North Eagle Road where that, what is that? The ridge, you go a quarter drive, or the next one, Highlander.
Well, Highlander is the first. I would contend is the first ridge line to the north.
I was to a couple of newer wells up there. They weren't replacements because those were all new. And in that time frame, those are the only ones I specifically recall.
So it appears that because of your job requirements and duties at that time and work on the new well locations, you didn't have a chance. Opportunity to go look at those several wells occurring in that time period that were re-drilled. Is that correct?
off the top of my head, yeah, I couldn't positively ID one of those dots. I may be able to do better off of a well log, but I can almost assure you that it wasn't very many of those, and certainly not all of them.
Okay. Are you familiar, recently, this April, I believe, in that area, it's close to the intersection of Valentine and Homer Road. We had a public witness came in. Mr. Greg Taylor had a well, irrigation well, 10-inch well re-drilled by Dennis Phipps. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, I remember the permit and the name, okay. Greg Taylor. That's fairly recent.
That's very recent.
Then. Yeah.
Did you have a chance to get out and observe?
No, I did not. Is that the one he's still?
No, it's now
working on.
Excuse me, I shouldn't have waited till you answer. Sorry. So that is one that has recently been completed, and there we all abandoned, according to his testimony. Are you aware that Mr. Owsley was out there measuring that and dropped whatever equipment he has into the well to determine if there was any water left? And his statement in a letter to the well owner is that it was, in fact, dry, no water at the bottom of the well.
Your question was?
Are you aware of that?
Yeah, no, I'm not aware.
Okay. So it appears that you actually haven't had, in the last few years, much opportunity because of the volume of area you cover and many other tasks that you have to get out to some of these replacement, or many of these replacement wells.
That'd be correct.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts in terms of when you're drilling through a mixture of alluvial material, sands, gravels, clays, whatever, what depth of a clay strata does it take to act as either a sealant or an aquitard or a confining layer? Is it inches? Is it tens of feet? Or?
Well, I think many clays could be, are fairly impermeable. I think the bigger question is, what is the extent horizontally of that clay layer in acting as a confining layer versus the thickness? Now, we may tend to think generically that a thicker layer may be more continuous horizontally. You know, certainly the best ways to flush out true confinement are through, you know, hydraulic testing or comparisons of geologic cross sections that are based on drill logs of the extent of those clay layers and the relative elevations.
So that's like a spatial extent is very important of those clay layers. Is that aerial coverage?
Well, I think certainly that would give me a better impression if I knew the extent of that clay layer, or at least the hydraulic condition on one side or the other of how it may be acting as a confining layer.
So, and what about depth, though? And understand aerial extent or spatial extent of a clay layer is important to know. Can you offer any of your expert knowledge in terms of the depth of a clay layer? Is it an inch? Is it 3 inches? Is it 10 inches? When
does it become significant?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. But try to help you.
So, when does it become a barrier?
I'm going to object here, at least to the extent that this A goes beyond the scope of direct, and B, ask for expertise outside of well construction and longevity issues. I'm not quite sure what the question is driving at, but it sounds like it's asking him to opine as to aquifer confinement and geologic matters.
I believe Mr. Hayden Officer has provided information in terms of when a well is drilled and either an open hole or a casing goes into some confining layer. I'm interested in knowing basically how deep does it have to go into a confining layer so that it doesn't have impact from areas above or potentially even below. seems like he has that expert knowledge.
That's where I thought the question was going over, Ruben.
If I understand your question correctly, you're wanting to know if I can tell you how thick a clay layer needs to be to prevent hydraulic connection on either
yeah.
side of it?
Yeah.
This was an issue that we debated over and struggled with through the process of creating this new well construction standards rules. It's really hard to put a number on that, you know, there's a lot of variables there. How impermeable is that clay? Is it more of a silt? To impede, no clay layer is going to prevent migration of water. They're all saturated. Water moves through those saturated clays at some rate. And we express those rates in very, very small numbers. In our actual regulations for a sealant material, a bentonite has to have a permeability of less than 10 to the minus 7 for whatever that means. But it's low permeability, but it's not impermeable. So a coarser silt layer may allow water to move through it. I still guess I'm going back to this, this horizontal effect. A few inches of bentonite material can slow the movement of water from one side to the other extremely well. So in other words, the thickness of a layer of sealant, and I'll just talk about bentonite more because that's, I guess I have a lot of experience with that type of clay. I know what it is, it's at the surface and we use it a lot. 2 inches of bentonite, which is an impermeable clay, can cut the flow of water down to, I would imagine to years from one side to the other.
And on your diagram that you show a mixture of topsoil, sand, gravel, clay, and then you've got, I'm not sure, I think it was potentially the bottom of that well, not the screen that you drew, is near a bottom of a clay layer, I think.
This?
Correct? Yeah, just the layer above. So what I'm wondering is how would a driller know, how would you know what's thick enough clay layer for that bottom of the well to be in to say, okay, it's not going to cause any kind of leakage or seepage or draw water from below? Not just bentonite, but an average blue clay layer, which is identified in a lot of these well driller logs and by hydrologic zone information, can clay, blue clay. How do you know? What is what they call an aquitard or whatever, or an impermeable. How thick? I understand the spatial extent. I don't know for the clay, the natural occurring clay, is it a couple inches like bentonite, or is it a foot? Is it what?
I think the only way I can answer that is relate back to these well construction standards and what we ended up doing with them wrestling with the same issue. Because when we say seal into a confining layer overlying the artesian zone, that's language from our rules, which means, seal into this confining layer overlying the artesian zone. Well, if this confining layer is 20 feet thick, the driller asked me, well, okay, does that mean I have to seal completely through it or just so much into it? What does that mean? So what we had to do was say, okay, here's the number, 5 feet. We want you to seal 5 feet into that confining layer or through the entire thickness, whichever is less, actually, in this case. So I don't know that we had some specific scientific basis to establish that 5-foot number, but in an area like this, you know, when we have what I consider somewhat streaky subsurface conditions where these, you know, we could look at these and these clay layers maybe 20 feet thick, well, I think that looks differently to me than if they're a foot thick. And we do see conditions where you're alternating, you know, a foot of clay, 2 feet of sand, a foot of clay, really streaky conditions. And when I look at scenarios like that, I don't see a lot of need, unless I have other information to show differently, that those aren't probably interconnected hydraulically somewhere within that close proximity.
I don't think I have any more questions. I appreciate your testimony. Thanks.
Okay, Mr. Smith.